There you go. Praise requests, praise reports, and prayer requests. That's what we'll do. Or a combination thereof. I know they start the VBS at my home church in Wisconsin where I came out of, so we'll keep that in prayer. They start that tomorrow. They use the Answers in Genesis one. So keep that in prayer. Keep our nation in prayer before I get to you, Paul. We're talking about the more civil liberties we use and lose, the faster it's going downhill. And I just heard that, you know, once they take the Second Amendment, right to bear arms away, First Amendment, freedom of speech is right behind it. And then it won't be pretty. So keep that in prayer. Paul, what'd you have? Her mom? Keep my back in prayer. I heard it a couple months ago and she's not getting any better. I haven't really given it a good chance to get better, but I'm giving it a chance every once in a while. So if you kind of see me doing something like this, I'm not dancing or anything, or I have to go to the bathroom, I'm just trying to stretch it out. It's funny when you're young, you have males come with a lot of sounds. We're just genetically, you know, we just make them. And as you get older, you just have these other ones. You come to a certain point in your age, even if you don't hurt, you just get up and you just groan. I find myself doing it too now. It's like, even if nothing, usually something does hurt, you get up and you're like, ah, it's just an effort. It's almost like a unconscious prayer request you're throwing up to God. Is that the Romans 8, when you don't know what you should pray for, 8:26, you're just groaning and just, Anne Marie. Well, that's tough. I know Eliza went, pray for her. She went to the doctor because she's been having stomach issues, and they said that they want her just to do a vegan diet for a month and go back and see. But that was Thursday, and she hasn't been doing very good on staying away from it. So, and that's what she has this morning. Her stomach's bothering her. And I said, well, if you take your medication and do what you're supposed to do. But, you know, that's coming from me. Any other one? Praise for the nice weather. Oh, go ahead, Jason. Yeah. All the money, all the people that attend, if one person comes to know the Lord, what's the price of a soul? You can't put a price on it. So it's one person. I'm sure more will be reached, but, you know, it's one person. It's like in your entire life, if you live your entire life as a Christian and you affect one person, I'm sure if you live your entire life in His Word and living what He wants to do, it'll affect more than that. But if you just touch one person. Oh, I know. Speaking of that, I'm starting jail ministry. I've been doing it, but I went through orientation. So Thursday the 30th, every Thursday night from 7 to 8, I'm doing a Bible study in Campbell County in Gillette Jail. So keep that in prayer. So every Thursday I'll be up there. And I need, Eliza and I need prayer request for travel because we're both leaving some. She's going to go visit Tammy tomorrow, and I'm going to go visit. I'm going to Wisconsin. So Her flights leave within 10 minutes of each other, but she's going 1,000 miles west, and I'm going 1,000 miles east. But I'll be back next Sunday. I'm coming back Saturday. She's going to be gone Monday to Monday. So just those travel mercies. Any other ones? John. You need some dry weather? Lord, we just want to thank you just for just the building you give us and just this day we get to worship you and just founding this nation on godly principles. And we ask that you protect this nation. We pray for our leaders that you just touch their spirit and just open their eyes to who you are and how great you are and how you put this nation together and how you hold it together, Lord. Just protect those in the armed services and other people from acts of violence that we just saw this week, Father, and we pray for those families and further protection for our nation and our liberties. Lord, we just pray for Sherry that you would just continue to heal her as she recovers from a migraine and just keep those from her, Heavenly Father. I just want to lift up pray for my back that it would just heal up quickly, as well as healing, wisdom for Sherry's mom in helping her sister sell a house and just giving her the strength and just the knowledge in dealing with all those things, Lord. Just pray that the Davis house would sell, and also along with that for dry weather, so that John and Ted can get on with their job. We pray for Hills Alive, that you continue to work in renewing commitments to you, Father. Stir the hearts of the believers and exercise their spiritual gifts and pierce the heart of the unbeliever that they come to know you, Father. I pray, thank you and praise you for the jail ministry coming up and that many people would come to know you and be strengthened by your word. And when they get out, that they would follow you and who you are, Lord. We just pray for the VBS in Wisconsin, as well as travel mercies for Eliza and I. And Lord, we just praise you for Anne Marie for not having to take allergy medicine for 5 days, because I know she's been dealing with allergies for quite a long time, and that's just amazing how you do that. But she also needs help in staying away from sugar, which nobody can do, Lord. I don't think without prayer and your strength. We just thank you and ask that you be with us today as we talk about faith. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, since we're talking about faith, we're going to use the standard jumping off point for faith. Does anybody know where that is? Any guesses? Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. But faith is such a small word. Hang on, I need a drink of water. Yet it's paramount and vital and essential in the life of a Christian. When you read in Scripture, Romans 3:27, it's a law unto itself. We know from Ephesians 2:8-9, through grace we have been saved through faith. And Romans 5:1 says we're justified by faith. So it's an important word. And when it's acted upon, it grows. It's kind of the mustard seed. When you act upon faith, your faith grows. When you do things for God, your faith grows. And the word faith is very common, and it's used very often during the course of the day, casually, comically, critically, and theologically. We use faith, we exercise faith a lot more than we realize. Yet faith can be quickly questioned or put to the test, undermined, and forgotten. And faith can be misplaced as the natural man puts it in all the wrong things or areas, and the Christian can overlook it, forget it, or take it for granted. Now, regardless of all this, the real question always comes back to, but what is it? It's one of those Christianese words that we talk about, but often it's, if you're like me, and I've struggled with wrapping my mind in ever since I've been a Christian around this word faith. Like, what exactly is it? What does it do? And this study really helped me kind of get more of a good perspective and clarify it. I mean, we have questions like, where does it come from? How do I receive it? Why is it so important in our lives? Do I have enough or do I have any at all? And many times when a person listens to a sermon or investigates the issue of faith, it becomes purely a theological or intellectual exercise. But today we're going to kind of put it into the practical. It's not that we're going to check our Bibles or our minds at the door, but we're going to see how we can use it in our everyday lives and our relationship with the Almighty God. J.W. Packard stated that I would rather exercise faith than know the definition. And many times we're doing this, yet our minds want to know what we have or quantify it. We want to just almost like package it and carry it around in your wallet or a purse. And we often think, well, how do I measure up to Hebrews chapter 11? Or how can I grow in my faith? But the thing is, faith is practical. Faith is real. Faith is necessary in a strong relationship with our Lord and Savior. And above all, faith is all important in the functioning of our spirit, soul, and body. And we know that without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. So it's important. Faith will get you anything. It'll take you anywhere in the kingdom of God. But without faith, there can be no approach to God, no forgiveness, no deliverance, no salvation, no communion, and no spiritual life at all. So faith is important. And it's very much needed to be active in the life of a believer. It's a small word, but one which directs and determines how you function in regard to this life and your eternal call. So before we start the book of Habakkuk, which we're going to next week, three chapters, I think it's beneficial if we stop and look at this word, because when we get into the book of Habakkuk, he stands up. I know it's a very small book, not many are familiar with it, but he stands up. The northern kingdom has been taken into captivity. The Babylonians are coming. Jerusalem's a mess. It parallels a lot to what we're going through as a nation right now. And he stands up in a tower and says, God, what's going on? And the answers he gave, God answers him and he says, I'm going to show you things that you do not even understand. If I show you, you're not going to understand. And he says, the faith shall live by his faith. Or the just shall live by his faith. And by the end of Habakkuk, there's this really cool thing that says, he realizes that God is still on the throne. And that's what we need to do today. We're standing up, I know, as Christians and as a nation, going, what's going on? And God's kind of saying, guys, if I even told you how this is, you know the end, but if I fill it in for you, you probably wouldn't even be able to comprehend it. But remember, I am still on the throne. But to get through that middle part, we need to exercise our faith and grow in our faith. So we're going to take a look at what that is. So before we get into all that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for your word and how it strengthens our faith, how it gives us faith, how it shows us who you are. And through that, we realize what that all is, and that it's sourced out of you. It's sourced out of your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. So give us the eyes and ears to see exactly what this word is and how it impacts our lives. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. If not, read it and underline and circle whatever you do with that word faith. It's in there almost 20 times of that chapter, by faith, in faith. And it's a typical starting point in the discussion of what faith is, but we're going to kind of begin to break it down a bit more. And while you're turning there, if you're not there, a few thoughts as we move forward. If faith is so vitally important, if it's indispensable and a must-have in your pursuit of God, it's perfectly natural that you should be deeply concerned about what it is. Martin Luther said, God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. George Mueller, those of you who are familiar with him, said faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. This is a guy who didn't have, he went day to day. He prayed every morning when he got up for food for his orphanages or money, because God would give him what he needed for the day. It says, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. I think that's important to remember. Because a lot of times we are like, God, I don't know how or what, or, and he says, I got you. I got it. This is where you use this thing called faith. So don't look at what you can't do. Look at the God who can see and has done everything. Now, Hebrews 11:1. This verse isn't so much a definition of faith. Keep in mind, it's a description of what faith does. It's not so much a definition, but what faith does. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or the essence or reality of the things hoped for, and the proof or description or confidence of the things not seen. Hebrews 11:8. I'm going to jump through Hebrews 11. Abraham, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I love that. His God called him and he's, I'm going. And then jumping down to 11:27, talking about Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And keep that invisible in mind, because that'll come into play in just a little bit. The New Living Translation, if there's a time when you're reading the Bible and you're struggling with a verse, sometimes looking at it, either, I don't know which version you read, but New Living Translation, NASB, even Amplified Version, helps just kind of put it, it gives you different ways to look at it. And for me, it helps kind of fill it in. New Living Translation, what is faith? It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we can't yet see. Remember that invisible that we just talked about in verse 27. And understand this about what is told to us, and this is critical to the verse in our understanding of faith. This first part, the hope for, is looking to the future, the second coming, or the promises we already have, okay? Those are the things we know are guaranteed. And the second part is the not seen, is dealing with our reality of here on earth now. So that's what you get kind of the definition of faith. We have the confident assurance of the things that are hoped for, what we read, God's coming back, he has a place for us. As Christians, we're going to heaven. We know that. The second part is the now, the present, the evidence of things we can't see, the confidence that we have. Even though we can't explain things, we know that we have a God that can and does. We go do stuff because God wants us to do them. As Christians, he puts a call on our lives. You know, many of you, I left Wisconsin not knowing where I was going. I didn't. I had no idea. This verse played a lot. It still plays a big role in my life. I left knowing my real estate agent in California. I was the only person I knew. I came here really not knowing anybody until I met him. I didn't even know where Sundance was. I do now. It's a great place. Most beautiful place. That's what I told the lady that was working with Nate that's moving from Wisconsin. I said, this is the most beautiful place in the country. It's not the white, I think I might have said world, but I'm not sure. It's a nice place. And this is the reason why Paul wrote about this invisible. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what it's one of those paradoxes in Christianity. We get our confidence, our substance in reality, in the things we can't see. The things we can see, passing away. Things we can't, that's where we get our confidence in our reality from, those future promises. So you can see how this definition, this description kind of hinges on where our focus is. And if it's on Christ, you can do great things in your life for Christ. If it's on our circumstances, You bounce up and down and down and up and up and down, and you're all over the place. You're like James. He talks about, you know, the Christian in James 1. And we talked about this last week. We need a point of reference. And from there, God will do the rest. And he can do much more than you ever, ever think. 11:7. I think I read that one already. No, I didn't. By faith, think of this. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of all things, not yet seen, okay, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Some say it didn't rain when Noah had, before Noah built the ark. Some said it had rained a little bit. Either way, Noah built an ark. Not just like a boat, okay? An ark. And he hadn't seen it. He didn't really know God that much. He knew him, but he did. He didn't see the flood. He couldn't have seen the flood. But he relied on the promises of God. A.W. Tozer stated, the great unseen reality is God. And then he added, faith creates nothing. It simply reckons or knows and counts upon that which is already there. Our faith, our confidence is acted upon what we read in the Bible. And sometimes we need a little something to get us along. Moses had a staff. He just needed, that's kind of what he acted upon to get his faith going. You know, Gideon threw around some fleeces. He needed that. That's what activated his faith. Because look at what he did. They conquered the army. They're just 300 guys running around with jars and lights and broke them and yelled a lot. God was on their side, chased them away. We can further see how important faith is to the believer in the Amplified version of 11:1, where it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, I love this, the title deed of the thing we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact, which is not revealed to the senses. If you're familiar with the Amplified Bible, it really pulls it out and puts a lot into it. But the title deed, think of that. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, or the title deed. When I think of the title deed in the Bible, it takes me to Revelation 5 when Jesus takes the scroll. When God says, who's worthy to take this? And at first nobody answered, and Jesus says, I am the Lamb. And when he takes it, he still has the body of the crucified Jesus. He takes it. He's the only one worthy, and that's the title deed to earth. He's taken it back. Is God in control over the earth right now? He's in control of everything. But we know from Ephesians that Satan is the prince of the power of the air right now. We know that. Does that mean he can do whatever he wants? No, he can't do whatever he wants, but God lets him do a whole lot. Because you have to have a choice between good or evil. So Jesus takes the scroll, but back to the title deed of the promises of eternal life. Promises from God himself found in his word and revealed and worked out in your lives. Your ultimate hope, your legitimate claim through the blood of Christ. That's where we get our strength in illness, loss, persecution. It's in the realization that this life isn't all there is. We can't confuse that. Guys, our life here as a Christian, this isn't home. We're going home. We're going home. We're passing through. And this life isn't going to be, heaven's not an extension of our life here, thank God. I mean, literally. It's so much better. But he has work for us here to do. But we can't forget the work here, and we can't get everything mixed up. We can't be so heavenly-minded we're no earthly good, but we have to be whole heavenly-minded that we're doing a whole lot of heavenly good. It's all sourced out of your God and faith in him, because it's your faith. You can't live on my faith. I can't live on your faith. As kids grow up, they can't live on their parents' faith. They have to develop their own, or it's meaningless. That's like when you have something that's your, like when you get your first car, that's your, you're really, that's my car. Even if it could be like a 1975 whatever, Dodge Dart or something like that. That's like my car. Even if it barely runs, that you still love your car. And nobody does anything to your car. When it needs gas, it's your parents' car, okay? Or it needs new brakes, dad, that, you know, it's their car. But otherwise, it's all your car. That's like Eliza, you know, I hold the title on her truck. It's not her truck, it's my truck. I tell her that. She doesn't like it, but I drive it every once in a while because I like it. Keeps me between a Ford and a Chevy man and out of that argument, even though I think I like Fords. But if you don't like that, just pray about it. You'll get over it. But faith and connection with Christ, and here's what's important. Our faith is sourced out of, like everything, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:14, Paul says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." Everything is right out of Jesus, including our faith. You can see how this is essential, our focus, the link at looking at Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very center of Christian faith. Without it, we have absolutely nothing. There's nothing to look at. There's nothing to draw from. And remember, and I say this a lot because I'm a pastor and I just need to remind you, and I say it a lot as a parent, like parents do. So remember, faith creates nothing. It simply reckons or counts on and figures on that which is already there, particularly that person of Jesus Christ, our guarantee, our title deed. The problem we have, and this goes back to 11:1 and picks up in 2:4, 2 Corinthians 2:14, 18, and we just talked about this, is pushing our faith into the other world or neglecting it. Now, the Greek definition is pistis, and this is important, and I never realized this until I got the definition and kind of looked at it more. It's a firm persuasion, faith. And here's something that's really interesting. A conviction based upon hearing. Not seeing. It's based upon hearing. Which reminds, it should remind you of Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that interesting? It just ties what the invisible aspect of Hebrews and what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, don't look at the things which are seen but are unseen. So it's a firm persuasion or a conviction based upon hearing. Faith looks out instead of in, and our whole life falls into place. Faith and living by faith, by the description given to us on what we've been looking at, is far better, such a better life than merely fulfilling rituals and rules, the things that are seen. What did the religious rulers do? They were so... Is that me? Oh, we're all still here, okay. Maybe that was my beard, I don't know. But anyway, it's... Guys, when we're... Rituals, people love rituals. Why? You can see them. You can see them. What did the religious leaders do? They got caught up in the rules and the rituals. And look at, they missed Jesus. He was right in front of them. And when we just got through the book of Matthew, he kept pointing them back to Scripture. Matthew is just, he's like pointing them back to the Old Testament all the time. You should know this. And he would say, "Do you not know? Have you not read? Have you not seen?" He's like, "Guys, I'm right here." And that's what we need to live for the world. We need to live out our faith. That's what they want to see. More than having you hit them over the head with their Bible, oftentimes you like to do that to people, but don't, okay? If you do that, you're on your own. But it's just live it. And remember, we're not perfect people. And if you mess up, just say, "Hey, guys, I'm sorry. I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. You know, it wasn't what God would have wanted me to do. I'm not a perfect person. I'm a forgiven person." But just live it out. Because faith is firm and it's persuasive. And faith is found, and the Christian life can become radical. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. And Jesus says, just enter in, because you know what? Romans 12:3, if you want to turn there, we've all been given a measure of faith. You're like, "Well, I don't have any faith." Well, it's a gift of the Spirit. We've all been given some, because by faith you've been saved. And I know we all have it because we exercise it. We've been justified by faith. So I know we all have it. And in fact, Romans 12:3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Okay? We've each been given. The amount of faith isn't as important as the right kind of faith, the faith in our all-powerful, everlasting Father. So, where does this faith come from? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Turn over just a little, another chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I think it's in 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand and throne of God. So we know that Jesus is the author and the finisher. Guess what we get to do? We get to live the middle. We know that he gave it to us. He started it. He's finishing it. He's like, guys, look unto me. You exercise your faith. You live your faith. You share your faith, the Great Commission. And I'll come alive in your life and to other people. So it comes from him. And you can't miss the importance of it, because when you read the book of Hebrews, and one of the reasons why I think Paul wrote it is because most of Paul's letters, he gives application, the first part of it, and then he gives instruction. He gives instruction and then application. And all the epistles he does that, he instructs, application. And in Hebrews, through chapter 10, verse 18, it's all instruction, and now it's application. And that's what he's saying. Hebrews 11, how are you going to do it? Where does it come from? Hebrews 12. That's the revelation. We have to be free from fear. And that's what we're going to be talking about in Habakkuk. The theme of Habakkuk is fear to faith. Fear to faith. Because what's the world living in a lot today? Fear. Are we? It's almost like you can't be safe from anything now. You know, some guys aren't recruiters in their office. Unarmed? I don't know why. That's a different question. But you know what? Guys, should we be fearful? We should be mindful of a lot of things, okay? But we need to be faithful in all things. And that's where God wants us. And that's what he did with Habakkuk. He took it from fear to faith, from the beginning to the end. Three short chapters. That's why I think it's important for us to study that book right now. But looking, it starts out looking onto Jesus. It's Greek, aphapharo. It's the only time in the entire New Testament that this Greek word is used. One time. And the whole New Testament. Why is it important? This word means to stare in awe and admiration. It's just not a passing glance. Jesus says, look, staring intently onto Jesus, the author and finisher. It's like this stare down. And we all have things we love to do, things that occupy our mind, hobbies and professions that when we go places, we look at certain things, right? If you're a hunter, you look at the woods. You look at for animals. I mean, Bruce and I hunt. I hunt. That doesn't make me a hunter, okay? I hunt things. I've killed things. But you know, I don't, these guys will pick out, I mean, the first time I went hunting with Bruce, and all of a sudden we're just driving in a car. Stop the car. He leans across. Bam, bam, bam. I hear a dog. Yip, yip, yip. He shot a coyote. That thing was like 200 some yards away. I couldn't even see it. You know, but he looks for those things. I love biking. When I go places, I look at hills. I think, oh, that'd be cool to ride up and down. If you work in Fort, Jason does forestry stuff, he's probably like, unconsciously, because he probably doesn't like trees here and this tree and that tree. And he just, you know, Jeff Electricity, you know, hanging wires. And all of us have these things we look at. But Jesus, like, as a Christian, Hebrews 12, you want to get your faith going? Look unto me in everything. Look, never lose my face or focus of your life. You should always be there. Reminds me of Psalm 16:8, because he is at my right hand. David said, because the Lord is at my right hand, I shall never be moved. It's like taking that staff or something, you just drive it in the ground. And Lord, whatever happens in my life, I am not moving. I'm not moving. When your faith is strong, you can demolish strongholds in your life for Christ. And if you're having problems, check to see where your gaze is at, because it works in the big things and the little things. Back to Hebrews 11, 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Big walls, when you read about the walls of Jericho, these things were huge. Big thing. Look at the next verse. By faith, the harlot Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. It seemed like she did something very small. She hid the spies because she knew, she saw and heard. She heard more about what God was doing through his nation. So she said, I'm going to hide these guys. And look at, the line of Jesus came through Rahab. Through that little act by faith. By faith. So even when it doesn't seem like you're doing something significant, you never know. You never know. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that means it's just the Greek, the idea is there's going to be torrents of living water just pouring out your Holy Spirit when you're living with Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. I just think this is an important verse because it kind of points to the author and finish of our faith. It's kind of the tearing away of the temple where the writer's showing that Jesus is much better than the rituals. It says, we have run to God for safety. Now his promises should greatly encourage us to take hold of the hope that is right in front of us. I just love that. The hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches behind the curtain and into the most holy place. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in half. And that's what this is looking at. It says, guys, there's no separation anymore. Relationship, just reach. I'm right there. Jesus is always like, I'm right there. Look, you don't, just never forget who I am and what I can do. That's what faith is. It's that persuasion. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about the things we can't see. Remember, it's not so much a definition, but a description of what faith can do. From all this, we learn that faith isn't a one-act play, but it's a continuous gaze of the heart at the triune God. It's the source of our faith. Now, if faith is the gaze of the heart of God, and if this gaze is but the raising of our inward eyes or our soul to meet the all-seeing eyes of God or that look, it follows that it's one of the easiest things to do as a Christian, okay? But it's just as easily mishandled or bungled in a human attempt to kind of bundle it up and package it the way we like to do. Because we like to have things, definitions. It's like, I have a pen, and it writes black. I know that because it's all capitals. And I like to know that. I like to hold it. I like to have it. And with faith, you just kind of like, I want to have this and be assured of it. I almost carry it around like a rabbit's foot or something like that. But it doesn't work that way. Because as you exercise it, it's there. And you know it, and other people know it. It's not something you can quantify or package or put together. And don't try to compare it with other people, okay? You'll totally lose it. I mean, if you live life by comparison, I mean, we have to do that sometimes. Like sometimes the kids will line up boy to girl. Well, that might not work so good in school anymore. Here it still does, okay? Or, you know, smallest to biggest. Some people might be offended by that. But any, you know what? Don't say, well, they don't have a lot of faith, or I don't even know if they're saved or not. You know, those things are, God knows the heart, God knows our faith, God knows what's going on in our lives. We don't know the whole deal that's going on in everybody's life. We're just to love them, to hold them, and pray for them. 2 Corinthians 5:7, what did Paul say? We walk by faith, not by sight. Just think of that definition of Hebrews, peace, or faith in Greek, pistis. Hearing, by the hearing. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's important. There are things as you grow in faith, you're going to be, there's things in your life as a Christian you're going to look back on And you're going to say, I cannot believe I did that. I can't believe I witnessed to him. I can't believe I went there. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I stood up there. But that's where your faith grows. I never thought I'd be a pastor. It'd be one of the most insane things if you would have told me not too long ago. But I am. I get to share that by faith. By faith, God made me a pastor. Believe me. The contemporary English version says, no one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. Isn't that neat? Without hearing the message. And the message comes from his word. 2 Peter 1, 20-21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The point I want to make here, and you guys remember this, is the Bible still speaks today. I can close it up, it still speaks, okay? I can put it away, I can't hear it as well. If I read it, I can't tell you guys how much I get out of this on a daily basis and how much it builds my faith. God is faithful, persuasive, to meet you where you need to be met. And he's not silent, and he is the word. That's why people want to get rid of him. That's why they want to get rid of these commandments that are behind me in courthouses and places, because they mean business. They still speak. They may be chiseled on stone, but they're still powerful because they're convicting. And that's just the beginning. Those brought people to Jesus, the fulfiller of that law. Our lives will be transformed when we realize, when we approach our Bible with the idea that it's not only a book which was once spoken, but a book which is still speaking now. The tragedy is that your eternal welfare depends on your hearing, and we have trained our ears not to hear. It kind of reminds me of when you read the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the church, they all end with, let your ears hear. Every single letter to the churches, your ears, it ends with, hear. Hear my cry. Hear my word. Hear my admonishments, or hear my praise for you. A.W. Tozer, another quote from him, he says, faith is occupied with the object upon which it rests and pays no attention to itself at all. And you're like, well, what does that mean? It's when you're exercising or walking in faith, you're not even conscious of it because it's such a big part of your life, you don't even know it. Look at Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The idea is that Enoch went on a walk with God, walked right up to heaven, never died. Do you think Enoch was aware of it? He was just pleasing God. That's what it says. He was just pleasing God, went on a walk. Would that be cool? Yeah, I'm on a bike ride praying to God, especially if I'm going up to Warren Peak, which I did on Monday, which I should have never did because I thought I was going to die, and I hoped I did. Literally, one of the worst mistakes I made this year. It's the ninth. It's over half over, so I don't make another one like that. It was hard, but it would have been cool if you go on whatever you're doing, you go on a walk, and it's like, hey, God, walking with you, praying you, worshiping you, all of a sudden, hey, we're in heaven. He's like, yeah. Is that all right with you? What are you going to say? No. I want to go back? I'd be like, no. If you guys pray me back, I wouldn't be happy if you came back. Okay? But that's how faith is. When you're exercising it, you don't even know. Okay, pulling this all together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I think there's some interesting verses to look at right here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. These verses Peter gave to the persecuted Christians, and they talk about faith, what we should do. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection, here it is again, of Jesus Christ from the dead, the resurrection, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now listen to this, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. This is kind of that middle part we're talking about. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just think of that. Gold has a very high melting point and is considered the most valuable resource here on earth, commodity. And God says, your faith is more precious than gold. And guys, it's going to be refined like gold, but it's going to withstand everything because it's in me. Now look at verse 8. Whom having seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Does that leave any doubt that our salvation comes through Jesus Christ and through faith? It says it right there again. You know, it's just, and I never realized these verses until I did this study, that how it just runs through the resurrection. It is critical. Paul knew this. Peter knew this. These guys started the church worldwide through 12 men because their faith was strong, and they saw the resurrection of Christ, a lot of them. All walked with Christ. But blessed is he who believes and does not see. I think that's John chapter 20. Simply put, faith, and I'll have this in a bulletin next week. This is a great definition. I'll write it in there next week. Conviction that God exists for faith and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. And if you remember that, every time you see the word faith and you read that in there, the conviction that God exists, because you might say, well, what is faith? Conviction that God exists, or belief that he does, the principle, the persuasion. And he's the creator and ruler of all things, and he's the provider and bestower of eternal life through Christ. That's faith right there in a nutshell. It's going to keep you going. It'll keep you from fear and put you in places that you never thought. Now, wrapping this up. A man fell off a cliff but managed to grab a tree limb on the way down. And the following conversation ensued. Is anyone up there? I'm here. I'm the Lord. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer. That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of that branch. A moment of pause, and then the man said, is anyone else up there? That's kind of like our faith, though. You know, God gives it to us. And we get to this branch hanging moment. And God's like, don't worry. I got you. And you just let go. And you're thinking, there's no way. There's no way. My dog's been jumping over the fence lately. So I need to put an extension on. But I read something that said, if they can't see what's on the other side, they probably won't jump. So I'm like, well, should I just put some stuff on the bottom? Would that be easier? But it just reminded me of faith. You know, God often doesn't reveal. We want to see everything. So when we do jump, we know where we're going to land. But a lot of times God will say, don't worry, guys. I called you there. I got it. I've got it. And often when you look back in your life, it starts to make sense, but there's still some things that you're like, I still don't know how that's going to play out. You know, you just don't know. And you might question God. Well, and if you would have known those things ahead of time, would you have done for God what you did? Would you have done it? You'd like to say yes. Like if somebody, you know, people say, well, if somebody came up to you with a gun in a church and said, are you a Christian? What would you do? I always say, well, I'd like to say I wouldn't deny my faith, but, and then they say, well, what if they did it to your children? I'd like to say I wouldn't deny my faith, but that's a different story. You know, it's tough, but God says, I got this. Remember, I sustain you by revealing myself to you, and that's all you need to know. You know me, you have faith, I've got it. I've got it. The key is gazing at him, and don't break that look. Looking to him and remembering it's eternal. Two verses, and then we're done on faith. Habakkuk 2:4, we'll get to it in just a couple of weeks. The just shall live by his faith. And a lot of Bibles don't have that his faith. It just says faith. But it's his faith. It's an individual thing. And then the last one, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. As Christians, we can be fearless because, guys, we've already won, okay? We just have, it's almost like in a sporting event, you have a game to play, but you know you're going to win. But you don't know how it's going to be played. As Christians, author and finisher, we know that Christ came, died, buried, and resurrected, rose again. We know the end. He's the finisher of our faith. But guys, we've got the middle now. He's given us the command to make disciples. Why? I think it's because he knows that we have to live through the sin. We have to deal with it on a daily basis. And when we exercise with our faith in dealing with our fallen nature and our forgiven nature, and we fight that battle, we're strong, we're warriors, and we can make a difference. And Satan knows it, so he's going to try to discourage you every chance he can get. So just remember that. Faith is important, and it can overcome anything and everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your saving faith, for your work here on earth, and Lord, for all you've given us and our work to do here. You're the author and finisher. Give us the strength through you to never lose the gaze of your love, of your face, and of your power and your work. As we worship you, Lord, let us just praise you. Let's just show you how much we love you. Because we do, Lord. Strengthen our faith, encourage our faith, and build a foundation that can't be moved. In your name we pray. Amen. Lead the way.
Just one last song.